concerning the birth of Christ, we find that at this time, Caesar Augustus, he made a decree that everyone should be taxed. And this taxing was when Cyrenius was governor over Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up out of Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto the city of David, called Bethlehem, to be taxed. For he was of the lineage of David, with his wife, who he was espoused to, and who was Greek with child. We find mention made of a man by the name of Augustus Caesar. This title was given unto him by the Senate. Julius Caesar was the first governor that ruled, and all the governors that ruled following this Julius received this complimentary title, Caesar. We find Caesar Nero, Caesar Claudius, Caesar Tiberius, they all followed in succession after this Caesar Augustus. It's a wonderful thing just at this time that this Caesar had to give such a degree. It was so that God would fulfill what he had written in his precious word. The scriptures concerning the promised Messiah was to be fulfilled. And we find that there was mention made of Joseph. He was espoused to Mary. This man Joseph is written of as being a just man, one that was likewise looking for the coming of the Messiah. And he was of the house and of the lineage of David. He was in the direct line then, according to scripture, from whom the Messiah should come forth. And likewise Mary, his espoused wife, she was of this line, and she was of the seed of David. And we find that his wife, that she was espoused to him, she was married to him, and that she was likewise great with child. And we have to come back to this first chapter concerning how that she became great with child. We find in this first chapter that Mary had a visitation from an angel. An angel appeared unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." What a wonderful salutation this was. Hail means prosperity, comfort. And she was told that she was highly favored and that the Lord was with her. My hearers, to be highly favored is to be esteemed, is to be regarded by someone. To be highly favored in a spiritual sense is to be, in the first place, a chosen vessel of mercy, chosen by God from all eternity. Oh, how highly favored is such a person. In the second place, to be loved by God from all eternity. Oh, what a high favor this is, my hearers. And oh, then to be regarded and to be esteemed by God as one of his children. Oh, this is such a great favor. And not only this, but to have the assurance thereof, to believe it for your own heart and soul that you are one of them, is another great favor. For this woman then was highly favored in this respect, for this message came from the throne of God. It was a truthful message. And not only was she highly favored, but the Lord is with thee. Oh, my hearers, you may have many wealthy and influential friends. You may have rich friends, and then they may help you considerably in this life, and you may esteem them and regard them for their wealth and for the friendship that they show to you, but these very friends can become your enemies. But to have the Lord with us, oh my hearers, if God be for us, who can be against us? And if you are one of these highly favored children of God, and you have had the Lord with you, then you have him that will never leave you, never forsake you. He will remain with you and take you to that blessed place where he is and where he reigns forever and ever. And now this woman, as she was chosen by God for this that she should bring forth this wonderful child, Jesus. She was then a blessed woman in this respect, blessed because she was the only woman that was chosen for this. And many of the women of old had looked forward to be that person that would bring forth into this world the Messiah. But here we have the promise that God gave unto Adam and Eve that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. She was then the woman. She was then that person spoken of by Isaiah, the virgin who would conceive and would bear a son, and they would call his name Emmanuel. This woman then, Mary, she was a blessed woman. And when she heard the angel speaking unto her in this way, she was troubled. She was cast down what this salutation meant. And my hearers, there may be some listening to me who likewise have been highly favored in the past. You have had so many favors of God shown to you. You were given to believe that you were one of his children. You were given to believe that you were a chosen vessel of mercy, that God loved you from all eternity. And all the time came, just like with Mary now, as she's cast in her mind concerning this salutation that the angel brought to her. And how often God's children are cast in their minds too, especially when sin revives, especially when unbelief arises in their hearts, especially when all the signs and tokens of that life seem to be gone, and all the tender feelings and all the outgoings of their hearts diminish, and then they are cast in their minds. Oh, they're so troubled. What a sea of trouble such a soul goes through, fearing that it was all wrong, that it never could have been true. And now Mary, she's cast in her mind likewise, and she's wondering what this salutation meant. And then the angel speaks unto her and says, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Oh, my hearers, now what a wonderful thing this was for this woman. I believe all her fears were immediately taken away, and she was again given that wonderful word, "Thou art highly favored, thou hast found favor with God." And my hearers, it goes that way with the children of God. When they are in that particular state that they are cast down, and they can't see any of their signs anymore, and they're troubled, but then it pleases God to come sometimes and say unto them, "Fear not." Has God ever given you one of these fear nots? Have you ever been filled with fear and anxiety concerning your eternal destiny? Have you experienced something from God in the past, and it all has went away? It was all like a dream, and you can't believe anymore. And then suddenly, when all your fears, the Lord has come and said, "Fear not." And she was again assured that she had found favor with God. Haven't you been assured again? Haven't you had a little revival in your bondage? Hasn't God come to you and given you a token, a sign again that he loves you, that he'll never leave you, that he'll never forsake you? What a blessing, my hearers. When we are cast down in troubles, to have the Lord come and say, "Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God." And he spake unto her and said that she would conceive in her womb, and she would bear a son, and she should call his name Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful thing this was going to be for this woman. Here she was promised that she was the virgin that was going to bring forth into this world this wonderful child, Jesus. And now when she heard this, she was troubled again. For she began to think, "How can such a thing come to pass, where I know no man?" And she spake unto the angel and said so. And he said unto her, and the power of the highest shall come upon thee, and the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son. He shall be the Son of God. That holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I was thinking about that word, holy thing. I'm not satisfied with the translation that we have in our English Bible. To call Jesus a thing is something to me that seems to be very low. I was thinking, I would say, that Holy One that is to be born of thee. So that translation would be more suitable. I'm not a translator, but you will agree with me when you read something like that, that holy thing. In Holland, it's entirely different. But we are subject to the translation that we have. And she was told that that holy thing that would be born of her would be called the Son of God. She was told then that the Holy Ghost would come upon her, that the power of the highest would overshadow her. What a wonderful thing this was going to be, my hearers. It was going to be entirely from God. There wasn't going to be anything of man in this birth. This was going to be a supernatural birth, a heavenly birth, a birth that came from the throne of God and would actually bring forth this wonderful child, Jesus. It goes the same way, my hearers, if God gives you a new birth. And the Holy Ghost comes upon the soul, and that soul feels the power of the highest overshadowing it. It's brought into the pangs and the throes of a new birth. It goes through the many pains and many feelings and anxieties of the soul inwardly. The Spirit of God brings home conviction of sin, reveals unto such a person where they are going to and what their end shall be. They are in trouble then. They are in anxiety concerning their immortal souls. And God in his infinite mercy gives unto them likewise that direction that for them there is a way of escape in the person Jesus Christ. Oh, blessed are they that have knowledge of this first birth, this wonderful birth, this heavenly birth, this which also comes from the throne of God, which has nothing of the creature in it, which is entirely from God and descends in the person's soul to the glory of God and to the salvation of that immortal soul. And this woman then was told that she would in this way bring forth this child, and we find that she consented immediately. She gave herself over unto the angel and into the hands of God and said, "Be it unto thy handmaid as thou hast spoken." And she was then made willing to be used for this particular purpose. So it goes with the soul that is born again. It is made willing in the day of God's power. It becomes so willing to serve God, to leave everything, to forsake everything, to cast itself over into the hands of God and say, "Here, Lord, here I am, take me for time and eternity." They are made willing then to leave the world, to forsake every former friend. You know anything about it? Has God ever made you willing in that way? It may be that you're very unwilling now. But there was a time when you were very willing, when God made you so. And this woman was made willing to be used in this respect. And now we come to the second chapter, my hearers, and we find that this Mary, who has been conceived by the Holy Ghost, that she is going up to Bethlehem. And we find that when they came there, that there was no place for them in the inn. And they traveled to this place, and when they came there, the time came that she should be delivered. Oh, what a wonderful thing this is, my hearers, for this woman. She was soon to give birth to this child. the time was there. I'm thinking about some spiritual soul amongst my hearers that has been so long in these pangs of this birth. Oh, they've been longing and waiting so that they may be delivered. And now the time came and drew near that Mary was to be delivered. And there's a time coming and drawing near for every soul that's seeking Jesus, for every soul that's burdened with sin, burdened with guilt, laboring under it. That soul will most certainly be delivered. It is God's time. And this was the time that Mary was near to, that she was in this city called Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a beautiful little city. It's 6 miles southeast of Jerusalem. It's a place that has so many mountains round about it. And we find, according to the commentary, that many fruit trees grow there. This city then is called the City of David. David was born in this city, and in his younger years, he was a shepherd boy. That's where he took care of the sheep, in the city of Bethlehem. This city, Bethlehem, is likewise that place where Ruth came to. The narrative of Ruth expands itself in this city. Therefore, it was called the City of David. But it was also called Bethlehem, House of Bread. And now they came into this city, and, as I said, this city was filled with people. There were inns in this city where people stayed. They usually stayed for about 3 days. They paid a price, and they were accommodated and given good places to sleep and places to eat. And there, this place was just filled with people. We find that there was no place for this woman in the inn. Sad sign of the times at that day. Here was a woman in travail, a woman ready to give birth to a child. And here they had no place for her. They had no place in the inn. How degenerate were these people in this respect. They had no feeling whatsoever of humanity towards this poor woman. Surely if she had been rich, if she had paid her way, then probably they would have made a place for her. But she was poor, and therefore they let her shift for herself. There was no place then in the inn. My hearers, there's no place for Jesus in what we call inns today. They are brothels of sin and iniquity. There is no place there for Christ. Those places are only places where people go to enjoy the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. There is no place likewise in our hearts, my hearers, for Jesus, except God makes a place for it. For they likewise are brothels of sin and uncleanness. And now we find that this woman, when she had to go outside of this place, and she had to stay in a certain place where travelers remained. If you read the commentary, it appears that they went into a cave. Why I mention this is because if ever anyone visits the Holy Land, they will be brought to a place where there is a temple. And they claim underneath this temple was where Christ was born. The Empress Helena, she built this temple at this particular site, and it was in a cave. Now, whether this is true or not, I leave for you. But we find that she had to go into such a place where they stayed with their camels and with their animals. They usually brought them with them, and there they fed them and took care of them. And she had to go into a place where there was a stable and where there was a manger out of which they fed the animals. And now while she was there, she gave birth unto this child. He then was born in this stable, in this place where animals were kept and fed. Here then we see this infant coming into the world, the everlasting Father lying as a little child, the Ancient of Days, who was but a span long. He lay there helpless, the Creator of the universe, God in person, lying there helpless as a little child. And now no one in Bethlehem knew about this wonderful birth. It would have been passed by as if nothing had taken place, had not God in heaven seen to it that it was made known. He then was born in this stable, a place of uncleanness. How different it is, my hearers, if you have a child. What preparations are made if you're going to have a child? What clothes are bought, the bassinet is brought, everything is placed in order so that when this newcomer comes, why then you have a place for it. But here, the God of heaven and earth was born in a stable. He became poor for our sakes, that we might become rich through him. When we view this birth, and we view the humility of Christ coming into the world in this way, then it should put a damper upon our pride, upon all the things that we are seeking after. After all our ambition, and after all the beautiful things that we are looking for in this life, when we look at the humble birth of this precious Jesus, oh, how it should lead us to be humble, to be nothing in the sight of God. And now this birth taking place in this way was made known, for we find that there were shepherds abiding by their flock at night. And these shepherds, it does not say how many they were, it does not say who they were, but we may believe that these shepherds were likewise looking for the coming of the Messiah. And they were looking for the consolation of Israel. They were God-fearing men. And many a time they had been talking probably with each other, and it said, I wonder if he'll come when we're alive. I wonder if we'll see him in the flesh. I wonder if he'll come and manifest himself unto us. Is this your desire? Is this what you're longing for? Oh, every spiritual born child is longing for a manifestation of Christ, wondering when he shall appear unto it, wondering whether it was born for him or for her. And these shepherds, they were in this dark night, watching their flocks. And suddenly there appeared unto them an angel of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Oh, just imagine, out there in this field, suddenly a dazzling light appeared, an angel who comes from the territory where there is no night, no darkness. So these messengers, they are just covered with light. And this angel descended in this dark night by these shepherds. Oh, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they became so afraid. I believe you and I were out there, something like that happened to us, we likewise would be so afraid. Either we'd begin to run away, or we'd be so frozen in our tracks and so terrified we wouldn't know what to do. These men, they were so afraid because they seen this wonderful angel. And the angel began to speak unto them and said unto them, "Ye not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And the angel then didn't come there to terrify them, didn't come there to destroy them, but it came with a wonderful message. A message from God, a message for them personally, individually. For unto you, it says, is born in the city of David a Savior, namely Christ the Lord. This was then the message that God had sent this angel with unto these shepherds. For unto you, I would lay particular punctuation upon that word you, for it meant for them. For unto you. Oh, how often haven't you stopped by that text, child of God? Oh, how often you have begun to desire that it was for you. It was for them. They had a message from God that it was for them. They had the assurance that it was for them. And they were given then to hear these joyful tidings. It was not only just for them, but it was also for all people. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, that it is not only for the shepherds, but it is even for us to this very day that these tidings are brought unto us. And all these shepherds, they're wondering and looking at this glorious angel. And as they're looking and wondering at him, suddenly the heavens opened. Were they terrified? Or were they filled with fear when they saw one? Just imagine the heavens open, and there a multitude of angels appeared unto them. Oh, what a glorious sight these shepherds had, my hearers. And they heard a wonderful song. And these angels came singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. This was the song that the angels sang. In the heavens above, these terrified and frightened shepherds, all this song, my hearers, there was no jarring note there. An angel, it was just one melodious sound. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And this is the employment of those that are in glory above. They give glory unto God. They praise him. This is what they're doing around about the throne. And this will be the occupation of every poor sinner that will be given to enter into that glorious place. There they will glorify God and praise him forever and ever because of this birth, because of this Savior that came into this world. Oh, my hearers, suddenly the vision was taken away. Suddenly the angels disappeared and the shepherds were left to themselves. I wonder if any of my hearers have ever had something similar in their experience as these shepherds did. Oh, when God comes to his dear children, and then when light shines round about them, then they become sore afraid. Has light ever shined down upon you, my hearers? Have you ever been given to see what a sinner you are in the sight of God? Have you ever been given to see which way you were traveling and what the end would be if you continued on that way? Has light ever dawned down into your mind and into your soul? And then you have become sore afraid. Oh, you have become so afraid. What shall become of me? Oh, what does this mean? I never seen myself like this. I never had any trouble like this with myself. Oh, you begin to fear that everything that you see means your destruction, means your damnation. And lo and behold, the angel spake unto these shepherds, fear not. Oh, have you ever had a fear not in the midst of that? Oh, what blessed words they are, fear not. How many times has God written this word in his Bible? I don't know, my ears, but oh, millions of times, I think. And that is for the comfort of those people that are serious people, trembling people, who can't believe, who lie there helpless, waiting that the Spirit will give them to believe. And these shepherds, they heard, fear not, and so have you, Saul, you heard that. And all such glory has shone round about you, that you have been given to hear a voice speaking unto you and directing you unto the Savior. And you have been given to hear, this is the way. You have been given probably to see something of the beauty, of the excellency of Jesus Christ in the midst of all your fears. What a wonderful sight this is. Oh, I'm afraid I'm talking Greek to most of you people. I'm afraid that very few of you understand what I'm speaking about. I hope someday that you may. I hope that God may let his light down into your mind and into your soul and give you to see something of what I'm trying to describe to you, what a soul sees when it's given an opening in the way of salvation in Christ Jesus. There ain't anything sweeter for you in this life than that. And now these shepherds, and when this vision was taken away, they immediately made preparations to go and to see what had taken place. They had been told by the angel that in this particular city, the city of David, there had been born a Savior, and they would find this Savior wrapped in swaddling clothes and in a manger. This was then the sign that they would find this precious Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. By these swaddling clothes, they mean those strips of cloth that mothers even use to this day when they wrap them around the body of their just born child, so that the body will stay intact, so that it will not be distracted, so that if it is given some unexpected jerk, the body will not be disturbed. They wrap their children in these rags, torn or made especially for that purpose today. But they took these rags and tore them and wrapped them around the body of Jesus. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he was lying in a manger. For these signs were given to these shepherds to go by. And immediately they got someone to take care of their sheep. They didn't just run away from the sheep and leave them to God's care, no. They got someone to take care of these sheep. And they posted off with haste to this city, for they had been told it was in the city of David. They immediately knew then that it was in Bethlehem. And they had been told that his name was Christ the Lord. A wonderful name that was given to this babe that had just been born. We find then that these shepherds, they left. They came with haste. Haven't you ever made haste so? When the Lord has begun a good work in your heart, when you've been given to see the opening that there is in Christ Jesus, you've seen that there was a way of salvation for your immortal soul. Oh, how you with haste. You hasted in prayer, in supplication. You hasted to come up to the house of God. You wanted to hear about Jesus. Every text, every sermon that speak about him thrilled through your soul. Oh, how you enjoyed coming up to God's house. Everything was life and food for you. Oh, you just wanted to hear about this wonderful Savior. And these shepherds, they hasted to see this precious child. They came then with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Oh, can't you picture in your minds these shepherds coming to this place? Oh, how wonderful that must have been for them. Full of desires, full of longings, full of expectations. There they came, And they found it, just as the angels had said, just as the words had been given to them, they found it. And here they found this child lying in a manger. Oh, and when they looked upon this child, their faith was immediately strengthened. Oh, they looked upon him in love, in wonder, and in amazement. Oh, I think that they were so filled with love and affection towards this child, they would have liked to have taken it up into their arms. They would have liked to fondle it and kissed it. Oh, this child was their Savior. For the angel had told them that it was for them personally. Oh, with what wonder and amazement they looked upon this child. Here he was, their long-waited-for Messiah, their Savior, their Redeemer, their Lord, their righteousness. They'd seen everything in this child that lay here so helpless in this manger. Oh, how overjoyed these shepherds must have been, and how filled with faith that they were given to rejoice in their Savior, their Lord. Oh, how many souls here are longing for such a time that you may find him, and that you may hear a voice from heaven saying unto you, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, namely Christ the Lord. It's a personal matter, my hearers. It wasn't a personal matter for these shepherds. And they found him. And there may be a soul here that says, I think I'll never find him. Oh, I had hopes one time. Oh, I was full of longings, full of desires, full of prayers. I made haste just as you've been explaining. But now, oh, I don't see any beauty in him. I don't have any exercises concerning him. The world, sin, unbelief seems to have the upper hand over me. And I think and fear that I soon will perish in this state. Oh, you'll never perish. Believe me, never. He who hath been once given to look upon this Jesus, they will look again. And he will also look again upon you. He will smile again upon you, and he will give you that measure of faith and to believe that he is your Savior, your Redeemer. And then you will, like these shepherds, be so overjoyed and so filled with happiness inside that you will want to speak to everyone that you meet about this precious Jesus. And all these shepherds, they began to speak unto Mary and unto Joseph and to all the people that were gathered there. They began to tell them, back in the field, we were there watching our sheep. Suddenly a messenger came from heaven. Oh, we see such a glorious vision. And all these angels, they sang such a wonderful song. And this angel that came to us, he told us that it was for us. Personally, individually. And as they began to unfold this to the people that were there listening, they all wondered and marveled at the words that were spoken by the shepherds. Oh, my hearers, if ever you meet a soul that's so filled with faith and that has just found Christ and is enjoying that assurance in its soul, then that soul can do nothing else but praise and glorify God. And then its lips overflow with praise, and it begins to tell you just how it has went. And that is the way it went with these shepherds. They couldn't keep their mouth closed. They had to speak about this wonderful child, Jesus. And they became ministers, they became preachers about Jesus and this precious Son of God, who was their Savior, their Redeemer. And now we find that these shepherds, they return back unto their place where they had left their sheep. And Mary, when she had heard all these things, she pondered them and kept them in her heart. how true it is. If you heard somebody describe something about Jesus, how they found him, how they possessed him, oh, how then you are like Mary. And then you begin to listen, you begin to ponder these things, and you keep them in your heart. Haven't you ever come up to the house of God? Haven't you ever had something from heaven that's come down personally towards you? And oh, how you have pondered that, how you've kept that in your heart, and how that at times again it comes up in your heart. It makes you so exercised concerning what you have received. Oh, Mary, she listened to these shepherds, and she pondered those things in her heart. She pondered about what this child would be when it would grow up, and what wonders and miracles would take place with this child. This was the child that she had brought into this world. And this was her Lord, her Savior. She was of the seed of the Blessed One. She was of that seed that likewise would serve him. And there we find these shepherds returning back to their flocks. Oh, I've pictured them shepherds together. I don't know how many there were. But they all had seen the angel. They all had received the promise. They all had went to see Christ. They all had seen him. And they all had been filled with such faith to believe that it was for them. And there they are now, walking together back. Oh, what a heavenly conversation they must have had. Oh, how filled with joy and happiness in believing in Jesus Christ. Oh, I wish this would take place with every one of us, my hearers. Oh, how we would want to meet together, how we would want to talk about Jesus, how we would want to exalt him. He would be the theme. He would be the conversation that we would have. And that is what these shepherds had. And they were together going back, praising and glorifying God for all things that they had seen and heard. Haven't you ever left this house of God, praising and glorifying him? For giving you one sign, one token, or one little smile of his love. Haven't you ever left this house of God in that way, praising and glorifying him, because he looked down upon you, a sinner, a wretched creature, and gave you to believe that he loved you, that he would never leave you or forsake you? All these shepherds, they had a little more than that. They had Jesus. They had the blessed assurance that he was theirs. And this is what you're longing for. Oh, if ever this takes place, how rejoicing it will be for your heart. It will be like with David. When David was dancing and skipping before the ark, so it will be in your soul, dancing and skipping for joy, for the peace, and for the blessing, and for the salvation that you have found. Oh, may we all be given to find this precious Jesus in this way, in this life. And then when we come to die, we most certainly will be taken to be with him in glory above, where we will praise and glorify God forever and ever, world without end. This concludes our lesson for today.